Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at The Avenue, here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
What a win. That is how you draw it up. What a night. One of the most complete wins of the year. Everybody's in a good mood. And you're having donuts for breakfast tomorrow. Shutout victory. In addition to the 10 runs scored by the Brew Crew. Man, they needed this bad. Welcome in, everybody. I'm Dominic Cotroneo. Brewers extra innings. Obviously, no extra innings needed tonight. 10-0 the final over the Braves in game one of this series. It's not perfect, but man, that was as close. There's no such thing as perfect, I should say. But man, that was as close to a perfect of a game as you can have. Top to bottom. Offense, defense, pitching, timely hitting, a little bit of everything, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. The soup analogy came through in that one from Pat Murphy. You put a little bit of this and it tastes like that and a little bit of that, and then you wait a day and it just tastes great. Brewers, I mean, where do you begin? Colin Ray, 7 shutout innings. Willy Adames, 6th career multi-homer game. William Contreras, 3 extra base hits. 5 two-out runs of the 10 runs scored today. The crew just had a top-to-bottom fantastic effort today. These are the games as a fan when you're watching, you're thinking like, yes, yeah, that's the May team. That's the April team. And you're like, yes, they are capable of doing this. And the further thing that makes it a little bit sweeter is that Bryce Elder just shoved against you last week and you were able to hit the reset button, come right back after it and attack. I mean, I thought the tone was set literally on the first pitch of the game. Bryce Tarang lining a single the other way, stealing a bag, and then William Contreras with 2 strikes and 2 outs. You're already thinking to yourself, oh man, man on third, and they couldn't get anything done, and Garrett Mitchell had struck out with a man on third, and then nope, William lines that triple off the wall and right. Then you get Adames going yard to center field, what could have been a nothing-nothing game heading to the bottom of the first. It was 3-0 Brewers, and Colin Ray said, that's plenty for me. That's plenty. Colin Ray, for me, Colin Ray is the story tonight. The offense was great. The offense was balanced. Willie and William were fantastic. But for me, Colin Ray, who I think everybody, including myself, I'll throw myself in that too, everybody needs to put some respect on the man's name. The Colin Ray special took another level tonight. And, you know, when I work these games on Tuesdays, I don't get to do many post-game shows on Tuesdays, but tonight I was over a couple booths down with TBS and the national baseball audience, and I was working with Bob Costas, working with Ron Darling, and, you know, we go through our prep meetings, and I become sort of the point of contact on games like this where the Brewers are featured, and we were talking, I'm like, look, I'm calling Colin Ray a crafty righty. I know there's no such thing, but you look up and you're like, wow, how am I 0 for 3? And it feels like Kyle Hendricks in his prime. Nothing's going to be firmer than 92 miles an hour, but the command that Colin Ray had tonight was impeccable. The sinker was perfect. The four-seamer was used extremely well. Even the cutter looked great tonight for Colin Ray, and that's been a pitch that's been the bugaboo for him this season. Tying a career high with 9 strikeouts, and I'll tell you what, the only thing he wants back is the walk to Orlando Arcia. When he had a 2-2 count on him, eventually lost him on the 8th pitch of that battle, but still kept a 0 in his line score. What a tremendous outing from Colin Ray. And I'll put my, you know, neck out a little bit here and said, in spring training, in March, I just simply tweeted, hey, we need to consider Colin Ray as maybe the most important pitcher the Brewers have that's not named Freddie Peralta. And this is after the Devin Williams news had crashed, and as they're trying to figure out the rest of the rotation, I said, this dude is not just a 5-and-dive. This dude can pitch. He was the Mustang that was never let out of the garage last season, if you will. He barely faced a third time through last season. A year ago, if he got you into the 6th inning, the Brewers felt like that was valid enough, and he did his job, and he handled it, right? Last season, he only had 5 starts in which he completed 6 innings, whereas tonight was his 8th start completing 6 innings and his 3rd start completing 7 innings. And oh, by the way, those 3 7-inning starts, a shutout against the Rockies, 1 run against the Blue Jays, and a shutout tonight against the Braves. Colin Ray is my story. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620 is the phone number. If you want to call in, if you want to text in, hang out with us tonight. We're going till 10:30 here on your home of the Brewers. Want to remind you, though, that Brewers Extra Innings all season long is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities, all to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. Brewers win 10-0. We'll talk more about Ray a little bit later, but we got to talk about the offense. The offense is obviously a massive story on this one. Live from Atlanta, Brewers Extra Innings rolls on after this.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. Don Catronio with you. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620 here on your home of the Brewers. This text from Lori in Franklin. One of the best all-around games. Fun to watch. Great win. And while you're wondering, scoreboard watching while we're at it, the Cardinals came back to win. They beat the Rays 4-3 tonight, so the Cardinals do not lose any ground. They will remain six games back. The Pirates, after a lengthy rain delay, they're finally underway. They're in the bottom of the fifth inning in Pittsburgh, and it's 4-0 San Diego. This is a make-or-break week for Pittsburgh if they're contenders or pretenders, because they get San Diego twice in the span of a week, and they play the Dodgers. So if they're going to hang into this race, this is going to be a week that they decide that they are certainly in it or not. The Brewers today, just a complete effort, as we said. 10 runs on 16 hits, no errors. They still left 11 runners on base despite going 8-for-21 with runners in scoring position. Again, a complete effort. Two doubles from William Contreras and a triple from him. Also a double from Rhys Hoskins. Some good luck hitting the bag. He was due for that. And Willy Adames having his sixth career multi-homer game. Meanwhile, two extra base hits for the Braves. They were both doubles by Matt Olson, and both times he was left stranded on the bases as the Braves went 0-for-6 with runners in scoring position. We talked about it there at the very top, that Bryce Tarang setting the tone in the first inning, swinging at the first pitch, lining a single the other way, I thought was massive. Because coming into this game, Bryce Elder had really struggled against lefties. Over .330 batting average, almost a .900 OPS. The lefties were the thing that had kept him out of the big leagues this year. And the Brewers went 2-for-11 against him. The Brewers lefties, I should say, went 2-for-11 against him last week in Milwaukee. So all right off the bat, you get a single from Tarang. Mitchell ended up striking out. And Bowers even lined out to deep right center field. That was tracked down by Soler. But then you had Tarang added another hit later. Bowers struck out. Frelick had a broken bat single, later scored in the fourth inning. So the lefties didn't necessarily go nuts today, but Tarang getting the single and another stolen base, 33rd on the year, now in solo second again for now until Shohei Ohtani ties him again. But I thought with this new look lineup we saw today, with Garrett Mitchell batting third for the first time in his career, and lo and behold, he doesn't get a hit, just gets a walk today. So he had been the hottest hitter on the team since Christian Yelich got hurt. Then you had Jackson Churio in the two-hole, 0-for-3, his first three ABs against Elder, then a couple of singles and a run scored later in the game. You know, that's why you play all nine innings for Jackson Churio. 10 of his last 14 games have been multi-hit games. That note was tweeted by Kurt Hoge of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. That was just to put her in perspective, and I was talking with Ron Darling and Bob Costas about Churio, and they were like, yeah, another kid born in the 2000s, and 2003, baby, huh? And I look, oh, no, 2004. He's already turned 20. And they go, oh, you cannot be serious. And you look into your crystal ball here for a second. 1, 2, 3, and 4 in the order today. Tarang, Churio, Mitchell, Contreras. They're all under team control through the 2027 season. They ain't going anywhere. The Brewers are in really good shape with this position core that they have set up even for next season as well. William Contreras, an opposite field triple, him using the opposite field twice and pulling a ball. This is the William we were asking for. Remember, we talked about it in Sunday's show. William could see him pressing a little bit on 3-1 pitches and not getting the contact that he's used to. The off day did him well, and getting three hits, all of them for extra bases, even drawing a walk today. I'm looking through the box score right now. William Contreras did not swing and miss once today. A couple foul balls, but no whiffs. That's certainly a good sign for William. And Willy Adames, as I finally get to the guy who actually hit two home runs today and four runs driven in. Four-hit day for him as well, his second four-hit day on the year. I mean, look, Willy, I said I got a chance to catch up with him in the clubhouse today. I said, hey, I said I was going to give you a hug after the trade deadline. So we dapped up for a second, but it was just like, hey, he's free. He knows what he's going to do these next 2 months. Very quietly, you know, you look at this team, Contreras and Adames, I mean, they're quietly some of the most experienced playoff guys on this team. Obviously, William won the World Series with these Braves back in 2021, and Adames made it to the World Series in 2020 with the Rays and was in the playoffs multiple years with Tampa Bay and, of course, with these Brewers. These two guys knows what it takes in August to get you to the promised land, to make sure that you're in a good position for a true pennant race in September. The Brewers win by a 10-0 score today to just set the tone and do it. Now, the last thing I want to say, though, about the offense and specifically about Willy Adames, and I tweeted this too. Fast forward to the sixth inning, okay? The Brewers are up 9-0. Two runs have already scored in the inning thanks to the double from William Contreras. You've got a man on second, two outs in a 9-0 game. And Willy Adames, on a 2-2 pitch, hits a routine ground ball toward the middle. Whit Merrifield moves to his right, the second baseman. He kind of slow played it, but I think he was assuming in a 9-0 game that Willy wasn't going to be busting it out of the box. But boy, was he wrong. Willy Adames busting his tail out of the box in a 9-0 game on the road while your team's in a little bit of a scuffle. If that doesn't tell you the tone or the expectation or the simple standard that the pillars like Willy, like Reese, like Yelly, and those guys have set, and the culture that has been created by this staff, of course, led by Pat Murphy, that is Brewers baseball right there. Not cool, they hit 10 homers and Willy had two homers, or 10 runs and Willy had two homers. What's Brewers baseball is we don't care what you've done previously in the game. Be relentless. Sniff out a hit if you can. Go get yourself a knock. And he extended the inning a little bit longer. The Brewers ended up loading the bases, not getting anything out of it. But that's what the Brewers were doing in April and May, where it didn't matter what you've done already in the game. Willy could have been 0 for his last 20 for all he knew, and he was going to try to sniff that ball out. I thought that set the tone, and it's such a great message sent to the underclassmen, as they call them on this team. The Churios, the Terangs, the Mitchells, the Hoskins, or not Hoskins, sorry, the Freelichs, the Ortizes. Like, hey, man, if you want to stick around in the big leagues, as I'm, you know, getting ready to go to free agency, this is how you do it. This is how you play ball in the big leagues. I thought that was such a cool moment for Willy Adames. Homers are cool, don't get me wrong. And I'm never on home runs, or I'm not going to sit here and make up some weird LinkedIn story about how great Willy Adames was for running out that ball on the infield in the sixth inning of a 9-0 game. But I think you understand that was pretty sweet. That was so cool to see Willy Adames really, really busting it in a game that was already decided. And he's rewarding with a four-hit night. Awesome stuff from Willy. The offense was great. Let's talk a little bit more about Colin Ray. Talk a little bit about the pitching staff as they did some switcheroos here on this rotation this week. Brewers win 10-0 over the Braves on WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. Brewers get the win, 10-0. We're going until 10:30 tonight here on WTMJ, live from Truist Park here in Atlanta. I should say Cobb County, really. Not really Atlanta. Just joking. Don't come after me, Braves fans. I'm Dominic Catronio. Brewers win 10-0. Quick little wrap-up here on the Colin Ray portion. Colin Ray, a few folks have been asking about re-signing him. Got to keep him around, got to keep him around. He's under team control next year. There's a team option for $5.5 million next season. And look, you can start to imagine next season where the Brewers have hopefully a healthy Brandon Woodruff back. He was here working out today, and he's should have a relatively normal offseason after the shoulder capsule surgery. Freddie Peralta, Colin Ray, DL Hall, and then fill in the blank in the fifth spot with Jacob Mizorowski, and later in the year, Robert Gasser, hopefully after Tommy John. Maybe it'll be longer for him, but maybe somebody that's off the radar, somebody that's a free agent sign, somebody that you haven't thought about to this point. So the Brewers are in pretty good shape when it comes to the starting rotation coming up in a year. This text coming in: hi, Dom. Hopefully the bullpen getting fully healthy for the first time in what feels like forever. Who do you think is going to be optioned or released to make room for guys coming back, such as McGill, Hudson, Hall, Zastrzyzny, Paredes, etc., etc.? Let's talk about that here right off the top. So when it comes to options, there's only a couple of guys that you can even consider when it comes to who can be sent down to AAA and have nothing to say about it. That would be Elvis Piguero, who has two option years remaining. He has not been optioned this season. And Jared Koenig, who also has two option years remaining. He's been optioned a couple of times already this season. Now, if you look on FanGraphs, I've said this before, I'll say it again. FanGraphs shows entering the season, Hobie Milner had an option year remaining, but you also notice the service time. He started the year with 4 years and 68 days of service. Well, we're well past 104 days, which would give him another year of service time. He's over 5 years of service, which means he can reject an option. So imagine Hobie Milner does not have an option. And that means the only guys that you would option are Jared Koenig and Elvis Piguero. Otherwise, you're talking cuts. And that's where it gets difficult, right? Yoel Piamps, no options remaining. Nick Mears ain't going anywhere. They just traded for him. Then you have Bryce Wilson, has no options remaining. The guys that need to get onto the 40-man are DL Hall is the only one that needs to get onto the 40-man. DL Hall and J.B. Bukauskas, I beg your pardon, both need to get onto the 40-man. They're on the 60-day IL right now. As for Hudson and McGill, Hudson's going to throw another rehab outing coming up this week. And then I imagine he will be back in the show, and the Brewers would have to make a decision on the active roster there. So you're looking at the long relief guys when it comes to DL Hall returning, and when you look to Brian Hudson returning, you got to figure out what you're getting out of them between Bryce Wilson and Joe Ross, but you always need depth this time of year. You've only got like seven or eight more starts down the stretch. I don't know what the Brewers are going to do, but that's where you're looking right now. That's just kind of laying it out for what the Brewers have in store for them for the bullpen trying to get back intact. I thought today, to get seven out of Colin and two out of Joe Ross, who's now in this long relief, as Pat Murphy called it, the Jacob Junis role for now, thought that was important to get him on track. Also kept the shutout alive, get some blood pumping. And now you have your full leverage bullpen available to go tomorrow. You'll have Devin Williams available. You'll have Nick Mears and Piamps and everybody available tomorrow if you can get into the position with Freddie Peralta pitching. And you're going up against Chris Sale once again, so buckle up and get ready to go against Sale. But the Brewers suddenly find themselves with the leverage in this series, just like they did last week. Granted, last week was a different story with the starting pitching and with the rotation and that sort of thing, and trying to get guys to the end and knowing Joe Ross was coming back. Now you're even better shape than you were last week. Can you find a way to win one of these last two against two incredible pitchers in Chris Sale and Charlie Morton? If it was that easy, and if I had the answer for you, I don't think I'd be talking to you right now here on the show. But the Brewers have a chance to just sort of calm the waters here before they get ready to come home for that big 10-game homestand. And I've said it before, I'll remind you, I asked for, in the 17-game stretch that concludes this weekend against the Reds, find a way to be 10-7, and I'd be thrilled. That would be extraordinary. What you need to do to reach 10-7 is win this series against the Braves and sweep the Reds, or sweep the Braves and win the series against the Reds. Doesn't matter. You need to win five of the next six games to reach that 10-7 stretch goal, if you will. But is it really the end of the world if they end up 9-8 with two series wins? Not one bit. Not one bit at all. The Brewers have plenty of time to get things right. And still, with a 10-0 win, there are things that you can, you know, nitpick at. But the Brewers, to see them remind themselves, yes, they are good offense. Yes, when they put the ball in play, good things happen. Joey Ortiz going to the opposite field. It's been a minute since we've seen him do that. You saw Sal Frehley get robbed a couple of times today. He had a line out and a pop out that was caught by Jorge Soler. But then Bowers had a quiet day. He had a walk, and Contreras had a great day. Mitchell had a quiet day. Churio had a quiet-ish day. There's still things to be like, oh, you know, he could have done this, that, and the other, and maybe it's 15-0, but we're not going to complain about a 10-0 victory for the Crew. Take a breather. Come back with some out-of-town scoreboard and scoreboard watching season in full effect. We're less than 2 months away from the season ending. There are just 50 games to go. Back with more after this on WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. Brewers win 10-0. That was a fun one. Game one over the Braves goes the Crew's way. Right now, for this month only, Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical is waiving their $99 trip fee for HVAC service calls. Visit Sider.com to schedule your appointment before it's too late. That's Sider, S-E-I-D-E-R.com. Mentioned at the top of the show that the Cardinals were victorious today 4-3 in come-from-behind fashion against the Rays, and they will remain six games back. So I went ahead and took a peek here. I'm doing this live on the radio. When the Brewers had that tough West Coast trip where they lost 3 out of 4 to San Diego, only won 2 out of 3 against the Angels, when they were coming home from that June 24th, the Brewers were 45-33 and only 5 games up. Well, the Brewers, since being 45-43, obviously, they've, 45-33, I beg your pardon. Since that game, the Brewers are now 18-16, so just 2 games above 500, and yet they've gained a game on the Cardinals. So the Brewers, despite the Cardinals even playing better baseball, the Brewers are still built up enough that they can play good baseball and perform, you know, 3, 4, 5 games above 500 the rest of the way, and it's going to cause, it's going to require an absolutely insane stretch from the St. Louis Cardinals to catch them. So the Brewers remain 6 games up right now on St. Louis, and San Diego is still leading 4-0 over Pittsburgh right now in the top of the 7th inning. I don't want folks to lose sight of the Giants. They lost tonight 11-5 to Washington, but you know, we talk about how great the pitching staff is for the Pirates all the time, right? With Skeens and Jones and some other guys in there, Keller. Well, the Giants are healthy now. Blake Snell, obviously the headliner. Logan Webb, if you don't know, you should know. Logan Webb's incredible. And now they got Robbie Ray back. And they've got a rookie in Hayden Birdsong that's really darn good. And their pitching staff is very, very scary, to say the least. And the Brewers still got to see them for 6 games, if I'm not mistaken, not just... not 7. I'm pulling up the schedule now because the Brewers will go there for their last West Coast trip of the season. That's actually a 4-game set in San Francisco, and the following week they'll have 3 at home against San Francisco. So they still got 7 more with the Giants. Don't lose sight of them. And as for the National League race right now for who's going to be the 1 and 2 seed, the Dodgers beat the Phillies yesterday. And they're scoreless right now in the bottom of the 4th inning. So with a win today, the Dodgers would move into the 1 seed with 67 wins. The Phillies would stand pat at 66. The Brewers are coming. They're 3 games back of that 2nd seed right now at 63-49. But they still have a 4-game set with the Dodgers and a 3-game set with the Phillies. As for other games around baseball today, we're keeping an eye, of course, out in Oakland. The White Sox, 21 games in a row that they have lost. The lights just went out in here. Oh, my. I got it. There we go. They've lost 21 in a row. They're leading. 3-1. Top of the 6th inning. White Sox leading the A's right now. So I don't think that game will be over by the time we're off the air, but that's something everybody is monitoring right now. We're going to hear from the skipper, Pat Murphy. That's coming up next. Brewers win 10-0. Highlights a little bit later here on WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings.
Options.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers win 10-0. As complete of a game as you'll see. And a happy manager on the other side of the line. I'm Dom Catronio. Pat Murphy spoke to the media earlier tonight. Here's what he had to say.
I think you always have to start with Code Red and William, you know, when they team up and just really good offensive team. And and shut them down was, I think, a great work of art. But also, you know, you have the offense keeping the pressure on from day one. You know, first hitter of the game, Terang set the tone. And then William comes up big with, after two strikeouts and hits the ball down the line. Willie obviously continues with two outs. And Willie has a huge night. William has a nice night. A lot of guys contributed. And, you know, that's what it's about. Joey Ortiz kind of silently had a nice night. And, we just kept doing it. And it's great to see the complete both sides of the ball play so well.
You can point to a lot of numbers with Code Red. We're talking about the press box 14-5 when he pitches for you guys this year. It's a pretty good number, isn't it?
It is. People love playing behind him. They love that he fills up the zone. They love that he never makes an excuse. He's prepared for every start. You know, he's just sneaky like an unsung hero. We say it all year. He's a rock, you know.
So do you think there was much cat and mouse having, you know, seen these guys?
I think he understood what he needed to do. You know, every good pitching beats good hitting most every time, and he was on the edges needed to be. His race to two strikes was evident. You know, he was pounding the zone, and he did it on the edges, and he did it, you know, efficiently mixed, and William deserves a lot of credit with that.
Besides what Willie has been hitting for quite a while, but what does he do, do you think, for the team by being out there every day?
I mean, he's tremendous, you know, like he's just got a tremendous spirit for the game. It's lost in our game today when we raise him that way. We don't raise him to play every day. You know, even our minor leaguers play 5 out of 7 days. You know, Willie comes from the school where, you know, if I'm upright, I'm going to play. And, it's been incredible to see how he's done it. And one day he looks tired, the next day he gets a day off, and bang, you know, he hits three balls right on the screws, so and then beats out a hit and plays impeccable defense, and you know that's what a good player does. And this kid, you know, he's going to get paid a lot of money, and he deserves it.
Besides that one day where him and Williams sort of convince you guys to let him play,
yeah.
Were there any others where it was close to a day off for him?
Yeah. There's a lot of days it's close to a day off, but he. You know, he's adamant about playing. I think that, you know, it comes a time this part of the season where you just need to be mindful.
Just always playing every day. You can count on riding Willie Adames in at short every single day. And that's not something to take for granted. He was fantastic tonight, to say the least. Great defense. We mentioned the infield hits. He's been impressive, man. I'm really enjoying it down this stretch here for Willie Adames. Well, let's relive it. Highlights. It's coming up next for maybe the most complete win of the year here on WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Go!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Brewers and Braves, game one of a 3-game set, the last series that these two teams will meet against each other here on a Tuesday night at Truist Park. Brewers rolled out Colin Ray, the Braves, Bryce Elder. This was a matchup that both these teams had last week. Brewers started out hot, though, with a leadoff single and a stolen base from Terang, but he was still on third base with two outs after back-to-back strikeouts from Trujillo and Mitchell. Don't worry, though. William Contreras in his old stomping grounds here to save the day.
Now 2-2 count on Contreras, and he hits one high in the air. Right field, Soler tracking it deep at the track wall. He jumps up. It's off the top of the wall, and Soler collides with the wall. He's down. It rolls all the way back halfway towards first base. Contreras turns second on his way to third, and he slides in there with a swim move safely. Terang jogs home from third. It is an RBI triple for William Contreras, and the Brewers take a 1-0 lead.
Lane Grindle's call here on WTMJ, and that was with two strikes and two outs, so Elder allows a run. No big deal, right? Well, Willie Adames made sure it really hurt two pitches later.
1-0 pitch, and that's drilled out to center. Going back is Kelnick at the track, at the wall. It'll fly! Willy Adames with a two-run shot, and the Brewers out to a fast start in Atlanta.
That made it 3-0 at the time, before Colin Ray had even touched the baseball. How did he respond? With a 7-pitch bottom of the first inning. So the Brewers in control, and they still weren't done. To lead off the second, Rhys Hoskins extended his hitting streak, getting a good luck double hitting the bag at third. So he gets aboard, advances to third when Frelick did his job and moved the man over, pulling a grounder. Then Joey Ortiz started to have a good night.
And the 2-2. And Ortiz, a chopper through the left side. That's into left field for a base hit. Hoskins trots home. Joey with an RBI single. And it's 4-0 Milwaukee.
So they're in good shape. Colin Ray allowed a leadoff double in the bottom of the second, but left Matt Olson stranded, and that really seemed to get him in a groove. In the third inning, he struck out Whit Merrifield on a sinker. He struck out Jared Kelnick on a sweeper. Then it was the top of the order, bringing back Jorge Soler to Atlanta, one of the top power producers in baseball and a World Series MVP. Colin Ray didn't mind.
Trying to strike out the side in order is Colin Ray. Wind up in the pitch. Swing and a miss. He blew him away with high heat, and he did strike out the side. One, then two, then three.
Josh Maurer's call here on WTMJ. So he's rolling. The Brewers decided to reward him with a few more runs once again in the third.
1-0 pitch. Swing and a fly ball to center. Backing up is Kelnick. Still going back. Kelnick all the way to the wall. It is gone once again for Willy Adames. His second two-run home run of the first three innings of this series. The Brewers busting it open. 6-0 lead in the third. Wow, how about the start in Georgia for Willie?
How about it for Adames? That was huge. He now ties Rhys Hoskins for the team lead in homers with number 19. The Brewers actually scored in each of the first four innings. They added an RBI single in the fourth from Bryce Terang. Now we fast forward to the sixth inning. Bryce Elder long gone from the game. A leadoff single from Joey Ortiz. He got moved along after a single by Jackson Churio. Then a ground out by Garrett Mitchell. Had men on the corners. And two outs and a full count with everyone in motion for Wild Bill.
And the pitch. And he does. And he flips one in the air right field. Going back on it is Soler. It's over his head. One hops the wall in the corner. Ortiz is in. Mitchell jogging around third. He will score. It's a two-run double for Contreras. And the beat goes on for the Brewers in Atlanta. It is 9-0 Milwaukee.
The Brewers take the 9-0 lead into the bottom of the sixth inning. Colin Ray still rolling. In the seventh inning, another double by Matt Olson. No big deal with two men on and two men out. He finished off what was one of his best pitching performances of the year.
The 2-2 pitch. Swung on and lifted into left center. Drifting over into the gap is Mitchell. He calls off Churio. Still moving right. Mitchell makes the catch. Inning over and seven scoreless innings in Georgia. Complete in the books for Colin Ray. What an outing.
What a start from him. The Brewers would add another run in the eighth inning because why not? And make it an even 10 runs. It ties for their biggest margin of victory of the year. Third time they've won by at least 10 runs this season. And the second time they've got a 10-0 shutout this year. Fun one today. We'll get ready to preview tomorrow and get you set for the rest of the week right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, last couple seconds here. Get to a few tweets and a few texts. 715 saying 7 against Arizona and Cincinnati. Yes, and 7 against San Francisco. 4 in San Francisco, 3 at American Family Field. You generally play National League opponents 7 times, and they try to keep it as minimal as possible when you're playing 6 times against an opponent because they want that tiebreaker to be taken care of. So you've still got those. Looking ahead, you've got the 3 against the Giants, a midweek series at the end of August, 27th through the 29th. Then they go to Cincinnati for those final 4 games in 3 days against them, heading into Labor Day weekend. And then they get their last series with the Cardinals during Labor Day week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And they still haven't even seen the Diamondbacks at that point. They'll see them back-to-back weekends in San Francisco, 4 in Arizona. I think I said it wrong again right there. So 4 with Arizona in Arizona, 3 in San Francisco, 3 at home against San Francisco. There we go. Counting is hard. It's been a long day. Traveled yesterday. Bear with me. I apologize. But nonetheless, the Giants, they lost tonight, so we're not going to overreact to that as well. On the player of the game poll, no surprise, Colin Ray winning the poll, but there were a couple of tweets that said, well, why not all three? From Sam and from Kyle tweeting that in. All three of them should have been the player of the game. Colin Ray had 70% of the vote this evening. The Brewers, they're in first place. Things are looking up. And like we said, with an eye on AAA, D.L. Hall made another appearance for the Brew Crew in what is scheduled to be his last one. We talked about it with Pat Murphy before the game today. Do you want to just put him in bubble wrap right now? Because the last couple times it's been its last one, something wrong has gone. You know, the first time it was his last one, he re-aggravated the knee. Then the next time it was his last one, he got hit in the forearm on a comebacker. So now today was his last one, and it was maybe his best one. Four innings, two hits, one run, two walks, three strikeouts. Fastball Vila was up to 95. He looked good. Also worth noting, J.B. Bukauskas, a scoreless 1-2-3 inning with a strikeout as well as he continues his rehab assignment. He's also a guy that has an option remaining that you can keep in mind for the Brew Crew, that even if you do activate him, you can immediately option him until you really need him down the stretch. And reminder, at the end of the month, the Brewer roster, you can add one more pitcher. You expand to 28, and you can add one more pitcher at the 1st of September. Another tweet here asking about Chad Patrick. Well, with all the thoughts about starting pitching, why not add Chad Patrick? Well, in case you're not familiar, Chad Patrick this season, 10-1 record, 18 appearances, 16 starts. He's thrown 96 innings. He's got a 2.98 ERA. Part of the reason the Brewers have never pulled him up is because he doesn't need to be on the 40-man roster. He's never really been given prospect status, and Brewers fans are going to love this because it's yet another savvy Matt Arnold move. Where did Chad Patrick come from? Oh, he was in the Abraham Toro trade with the Oakland A's last November. I mean, where they find these guys is suddenly turning what they're doing right now in AAA. And also, to be fair to Chad Patrick, this is the most innings he has thrown. It will be the most innings he's thrown in the minor leagues in his career. Last season between Arizona and Oakland, he threw 102 innings. He's at 96 and two-thirds coming into tonight. Doesn't strike out the world. His strikeout numbers are actually a little bit down, but the command has been reined in for him as well. And opponents have struggled with his cutter. He's got a really good cutter, true five-pitch mix, always been seen as depth. But if you want to protect him from the Rule 5 draft, you don't have to put him on the 40-man until this coming offseason. Cool story, a fourth-rounder out of Purdue University Northwest. So shout-out to Chad Patrick. We'll probably get to know him a little bit more in spring training. And he also turns 26 years old next week. So happy early birthday to Chad Patrick. Tomorrow, the Brewers will hand the ball to Freddy Peralta. He'll be going up against Chris Sale once again, just like it was last Wednesday at American Family Field. And I thought Freddy pitched very well in that start. I know the Brewers ended up losing that game, but Freddy has been quietly on a good turn of his rotation the last few times through. He went six innings, just allowed the two solo homers to Travis d'Arnaud and Matt Olson last week. He had the tough one against the Marlins, only allowing three earned runs. The five walks was odd, but he had six shutout against Minnesota. Want to see which Freddy Peralta we're going to see. If we're going to see prime August Freddy Peralta tomorrow as he goes up against Chris Sale. Then the Brewers on Thursday to wrap up this series, they will see Charlie Morton, the right-hander, going up against Frankie Montas with Joe Ross now in the bullpen. He has been removed temporarily as such out of the rotation, and then they have a decision to make. What are they going to do with D.L. Hall? So they'll finish up this quick little road trip in Atlanta on Thursday. They come back home for their longest homestand of the year on Friday. Three with the Reds, four with the Dodgers, three with the Guardians. Tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on your home of the Brewers. We're on the air at 5:45 with the On Deck Show, built by Bernards. And then I've got you after the game once again live here from Truist Park as the Brewers will try to go ahead and win a series and get themselves in a good mood before an early one on Thursday, at least for Central Time. We're on the air at 10:45 on Thursday, and that is for an 11:20 first pitch local here. 11:20 Central, I should say, a 12:20 first pitch here in ATL. It was a cool bobblehead tonight. 37,000 came out to see the Colin Ray, or 38,000 came out to see the Colin Ray show. They also went home with an Outcast bobblehead driving a Cadillac and wearing Braves garb. So that was a pretty cool giveaway. But the Brewers all sent them home sad, as they'll try to go for the series tomorrow with their opening day starter, Freddy Peralta, taking the ball. The Brewers still going to be in first place. The sprint is officially on. The Crew, they're looking good right now. They're six games up, 63-49, 50 to go. I cannot believe the season is already at this point in the year. And it's hot down here in Atlanta, I can promise you that. But the Brewers may feel a little bit cooler today with a victory 10-0 over the Bravos. My thanks to our producer, Max Meyerson. I'm Dominic Catronio. Talk to you tomorrow after hopefully another win. Until then, keep on swinging.